The Seder. Seder in Hebrew means order. Order, or it also means a ceremony. And it's beautiful to know that there is an order in this world. Everything is in the right place. We are those who mix things up. But God puts everything in the right place. So there's an order. The whole Seder has two things. We have dining and telling. We are dining and we are telling. The dining part is taken from Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. We are eating actually three main things in the Passover. We are eating the Passover lamb. We are eating the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread, and as we say that in Hebrew, matzot. But since the temple was destroyed, we cannot eat anymore from the Passover lamb, because we had to eat the same lamb that was sacrificed in the temple. And since there is no temple anymore, we refer to the unleavened bread as the sacrifice. So from now on, maybe we'll have a shank bone on our plate, but we will eat only the Passover bread and, of course, the bitter herbs. The book that we are reading from during the Passover service is called Haggadah. Say that. Haggadah. Haggadah means in Hebrew telling, to tell. And it's based on the verses from Exodus 13, verse 8, that says, "And you shall tell it to your son." We have in the Haggadah two things. We have a story that we are talking about Deuteronomy 26, that talks about the whole story of coming out of Egypt and going out through the desert into the Promised Land. And the second part of the Haggadah is praise. Believe it or not, we have to praise God tonight. And I don't know if you know that, but Yeshua, on that night, as he had the last supper with his disciples, he sang with them. He sang with them before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's part of the ceremony. And then we have something that is very special to the Passover, and this is the Passover plate. As you can see right here, the Passover plate has some symbols all around. Each and one of you, under your seat, don't look right now, you have your own Passover plates. And when the time comes, you will all reach out to the seat of the person that sits in front of you, and under that seat, that's your plate. And we will look at the plate, and we will taste the different symbols. But what are the symbols that we have right here? We have a shank bone. Shank bone that is actually picture of the lamb that they used to bring to the temple to sacrifice. This is the Passover lamb, which was offered in every Jewish Passover evening. If you remember, as the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt, they were to sacrifice a one-year-old lamb. After they inspected for 4 days that this is an unblemished one, they would take it, sacrifice it, and eat it up until the morning and leave nothing from it. Jesus, he said in 1 Corinthians 5, 7b, to be our Passover. And why? Because he answered the two criteria that we have in the Bible. In Exodus 12, 5, the lamb has to be without blemish. And we know in 1 Peter 1:19 that this was a lamb without a blemish. Nobody could find anything wrong. Jesus, as he died on the cross, had to fulfill the prophecy that no bone shall be broken in him. Exodus 12:46 says, "Nor shall you break one of its bones." And it talks about the lamb. And in John 19:33, we can see that no bone was broken in the body of the real Lamb of God. just to fulfill that and to tell us that these two criteria were fulfilled by Jesus on the cross on that Passover Eve. And at the very same hour, it was 3 p.m., he gave himself and died, the high priest at the temple courts, slaughtered the one-year-old lamb. 3 p.m. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., this whole thing lasted. That's the shank bone. We have also bitter herbs. We have horseradish right here. Why bitter herbs? Because of the slavery that we had in Egypt. We had slavery that was bitter. The bitter herbs bring tears to our eyes as we remember these things. And they make us remember the bitterness which was our forefathers' portion when they were enslaved by Pharaoh. But we know that Jesus, as he came to Jerusalem, he cried himself. He wept. And he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathereth chicks, but you did not want. And I say to you, Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord." The unleavened bread, the matzah. This is a bread with no leaven, a symbol of life with no sin. This is the bread that was baked on the way out of Egypt. No doubt that God gave us no time to bake a real bread, to bake a good bagel. We had no time because we have to remember this is a shadow. And as a shadow, it has to be exactly showing us what the real substance is. And we learned that about 3 weeks ago, that the real one is the Lord Jesus, that nobody could find any sin in him. And we are also to clean ourselves and to live Christ-like life with no sin and to be unleavened bread. And we know that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So this is the bread of the Passover. And then we have the roasted egg. The roasted egg, I have one roasted. You have eggs that were peeled already. And the roasted egg reminds us of the temple in Jerusalem. The temple, why it's roasted? Because the temple was destroyed. Now the egg also reminds us of the sacrifice that was brought at the temple every holiday. There used to be a sacrifice that was called Chagigah, which means celebration. So together with the little lamb, you would bring another sacrifice of Chagigah. And we want to remember that. And as far as the temple concerned, we know that Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple. That the year was 33 AD, when no destruction could be seen in the horizon. And yet he could see the Roman armies already coming, building ramps all around, and breaking the walls and burning the temple. He could see that and he wept. And he told to the women of Jerusalem, "Don't cry over me, cry over your children." But Jesus himself said, "I can tell you that this temple can be destroyed and in 3 days built again." And he meant that he himself, he is the temple. And as he dwells in each and one of us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the Jewish people on their weddings, I don't know if you know that, but they break a glass. This is for remembrance of the destruction of the temple. And I did not do that on my wedding, because I don't need to remember the destruction of the temple when I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And plus, who knows if I would hit the glass. Jesus prophesied And Jesus also said that he is the temple. Matthew 26:61 and Ephesians 2:19 through 22 talks about this. The parsley. In Greek, parsley means fruit. We dip it in salty water. And this is the parsley has to remind us of the hyssop that the children of Israel took, dipped in the blood, and just put the blood on the posts of their doors. So the angel of God will pass over their houses on their way to kill every firstborn of the Egyptians. So what we do, we just dip those in the salty water. Salt water, symbol of the tears. Salt water is also the salty sea, the Red Sea that the children of Israel had to cross. The Red Sea in Hebrew is Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. So the parsley could be also one of the reeds that are mentioned. And also, we must remember that these are the salt tears that shed while still enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Then we have a mixture of apples and nuts, and all this should be kind of a brown thing that reminds us of clay from which we made the bricks to build the great cities of the Egyptians. This is a reminder of the clay, and we know that Jesus said that he is going to build us mansions. In his Father's house, there are many mansions, and he's going to prepare a place for each and one of us. But he also said that he is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone in Hebrew, Rosh Pinah. And we are as living stones being built up as a spiritual house. And this is found in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, and John 14, verses 2 and 3. And then, during the Passover service, we have 4 cups of wine that we drink. In this case, since we are going to have quite a long service, I decided not to have wine. It's just grape juice. But usually we are drinking wine. And the wine reminds us of the 4 cups of the 4-fold salvation of Israel through God out of Egypt. This is from Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The first cup is for what said, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And 1 Peter says, and I will bring you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. By the way, Peter was a Jew, and he brought that verse, out of darkness into his marvelous light, from the Haggadah. Believe it or not, it is right there. The next thing, the next cup that we have, the second promise, I am the Lord, and I will rescue you from the bondage. Matthew 1, Jesus, and you will name him Yeshua, because he will save his people. Only in Hebrew, the name of Jesus makes sense. Because Yeshua means salvation, means will save. And you will name him salvation, because he will save his people. Isaiah 35, say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. God will come and save you. The third promise that we have from Exodus chapter 6. I am the Lord and I will redeem you. And this is the third cup that you drink after the meal. The cup of redemption. This is the cup that Jesus took and blessed and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. The cup of redemption. What a weird coincidence. The fourth promise, I am the Lord and I will take you as my people. John 14:3, Jesus said that he will take us. He will take us, we are his people. So we have a beautiful way to see how the shadow comes before the substance. By the way, I don't know if you know that, but there is no shadow without a substance. And there is no substance without a shadow. You cannot take them apart. They have to come together. When you are walking in the daylight, you see your shadow. If you don't see it, go to the doctor. We have three additional promises. The fifth promise is, I am the Lord and I will be your God. I am the Lord and I will bring you into the land. And I am the Lord and I will give it to you as a heritage. And we have the Passover Seder. It's a beautiful ceremony. It takes time, but it has certain parts that we have to follow till we get to the very last one. As you can see, we have the one that's called sanctify, kadesh in Hebrew. And then we have to lave, to wash ourselves, wash our hands. The parsley. We have to divide the matzah bread. We have to recite. We have to tell to our children what happened on that night. We have to wash ourselves again. That's the very stage of the evening that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Because that is the part where you have to wash yourself. And he said, hold it. Took his belt, dipped it in water, and washed his, on the feet of his disciples. And then we have the bring forth of the matzah. He took the matzah and he broke it. The bitter herbs and the matzah are being combined together as a sandwich and you eat it. And then we set the table and we have a nice dinner. It takes a long time, that dinner, and usually many families just fall asleep after this dinner and they don't continue with the Seder. I remember as a child that I always waited for the meal to come, and after that I went to play. I didn't stay for the last one. And the last part is probably the most important one. After the meal, we have the hidden piece. I'll tell you that later. We are taking, during the service, a matzah bread. We break it, we take half of it, and we hide it somewhere. So after the meal, one of you will find the hidden piece. Because it's somewhere here. And the one who finds it gets a reward. Not from me. We bless, we praise, and we tell God, please accept it. This is our offering, this is our sacrifice to you. And it is accepted. So that's the part that we want to end up right now with. We went over the different parts of the Seder. We want to teach you now a song in Hebrew. And then we want to sit together and go one part after the other and perform the Seder together using our plates, which are under the person that sits in front of your seat. Okay? So why don't we stand up? You all can go over there. I want each and one of you to take his right hand and put it on the shoulder of the one to his right. Like that. Now on the other shoulder. Okay. On the right shoulder. And we are going to sing a song that requires you to move from one side to another. Okay? We are going to teach you a song, so you have to sing it with us. It's called Behold Our Good and How Pleasant It Is for Brothers to Dwell Together in Unity. And in Hebrew, Hine ma tov uma na'im shevet achim gam yachad. And don't spit on your neighbor as you say it. Okay? Hine ma tov.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. Okay. So we have to start with our Seder right now. So you can sit down. I want you to take the plate. Make sure you're not taking it upside down. Open. And look at what you have in your plate. Make sure you have the right things. One of you has the hidden piece of the matzah. Please do not say that it's you until we say this is the time to find out who is this. And then you go to Pastor Jack to take the reward. Okay, let's start with it. First of all, the first thing of the Passover Seder is the sanctification. We take a cup of wine. We just pour the wine in the glass. You can pour one out. You can give it to the others. And usually what we do, we bless this cup of wine. Blessed are you, O God, our fathers, King of the universe, the creator of the fruit of the vine. And all God's people says, Amen. Amen. You are being ignored. This is the cup of sanctification. We sanctify ourselves as we come into the presence of the Lord, as we come into the beautiful ceremony that is a beautiful shadow of what we had in the year 33 AD, somewhere in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. We usually wash our hands right after this cup. And after we wash our hands very carefully, what we do, we take the parsley. Hold it in your hands. And we are dipping the parsley in the salt water. Now I warn you, it's not going to taste like In-N-Out. You just dip it like this. The parsley is the hyssop, the salt water are the tears, the wine is symbolizes the blood that the hyssop was dipped in. And what we do now, after we do that, is we are taking this and we are eating it. Let's do that. Thank God for wine. You don't have it. The next thing that we are going to do, we are going to understand something. This is a custom that nobody knows where it came from. And I wonder why. We are usually having 3 pieces of unleavened bread. What we do, we usually put them in a certain cover that has 3 places for that. And what we do, from all the 3, we take the middle one. We take the middle one. We break it into 2 parts. No, you don't do that. I hear so many. You take half of it, putting it, wrapping in it very carefully, and you are hiding it somewhere that nobody knows. The funny thing is that nobody can figure out why we have 3 pieces, why we take the middle one, and just the middle one, we break it. And we take half of it, and we hide it. And the other half is revealed. Now, I have my own theory. I believe that his whole custom probably started in the first century. And from that time on, people don't realize that what they are doing is what the first congregation in Jerusalem instituted as a reminder of the from the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son is the only thing that was broken. Half of it is hidden. He is not seen by his people. He is hidden from their eyes. And the other half can see him clearly. And I want to tell you something. Romans chapter 11 is a great chapter. Because Romans tells us that the only people on this planet that God blinded were the Jews. The rest of the people on this planet, if they don't see Christ, it's because of something else. But God is the one who blinded the Jewish people. And why? Why did he do that? We have a clear answer. Romans 11, verse 11 says very clearly, "What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day." But if you think that this is it, you're wrong. God has great promises for Israel. And I want you to, if you move on to verse 25, this is a secret that Rabbi Paul is revealing to each and one of you. He says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile has come in. And so, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, with when I take away their sins." And not only that, we have 2 Corinthians. It's a beautiful verse. From chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." This is the veil that will be taken away. And the Jewish people will experience a nationwide salvation when Jesus will come back. We know that Zechariah says, "And they will see him whom they pierced. And they will mourn, and they will cry, and they will repent, and that will be their day of atonement." And we know that in the Great Tribulation, according to the prophet Ezekiel, 2/3 of Israel will be destroyed, will die. And 1/3 that will be left, that will survive this thing, will be redeemed and saved by God. So the natural Israel and the spiritual Israel will be together in the kingdom. But I believe that we have a task to pray for these people as they sit around the table during the Passover and they are breaking the bread and are drinking the wine and they are hiding half of it and they do not know why. We just pray for a revelation of the real Lamb of God, the real Passover, the real unleavened bread. And this Passover, I just want you to know, there's a 1,000 cities around the world that simultaneously are going to have prayer meetings for Israel on that very night of Passover. And then we come to the very interesting part of the Passover, the telling. We are going to tell the whole story. Now, usually the whole telling is based on Deuteronomy chapter 26 and Exodus chapter 13. And I want us to read some of the things that the Haggadah is giving to us, parts from what Jewish rabbis were writing and parts from the Bible itself. And we'll get to some very interesting things. Mike will start with the bread of affliction. Stand up. Okay, it's on.
This is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let anyone who is hungry come in and eat. Let anyone who is needy come in and make Passover. This year we are here. Next year we shall be in the kingdom of heaven. This year we are slaves. Next year, free men.
Amen. The next thing we do, usually we have the children sitting around the table and they are asking their parents, why is this night different from all the other nights? So we're going to have four kids right here that will ask their parents why this night is different than the other nights. Sal Garcia will start. And I want you to remember that 2,000 years ago and even before, this whole ceremony was done on the floor. People would sit, not sit on the chairs. This is a Leonardo da Vinci style. I didn't know it that funny. And they will recline, and usually they will sit according to the order of who is the most important one. That's why Peter was very angry. He was the last one. Sal, you ask your dad.
Why is this night different from all the other nights?
Any other night, we may eat either leavened or unleavened bread, but this night, only unleavened.
Sarah.
Why is this night different from all other nights?
We may eat all kinds of herbs, but this night, only bitter herbs.
Why is this night different from all other nights?
Any other night, we do not dip even once, but this night, we dip twice.
And we are going to dip twice, don't worry. We dipped already once, the parsley in the salt water.
Why is this night different from any other night?
Any other night, we sit either sitting straight or reclining. But this night, we all recline.
And I'm sorry for this. We should recline. This night, we should recline. Okay. His faithfulness. Who has it? You? Yes. Richie, you will read it to us. Okay.
His faithfulness when enemies conspired to shatter us in ages past sustained our ancestors and always fired our hearts when evil cast its shadow. For the Holy One required our lives at trance hands and saved at last. Jacob went down to Egypt and sojourned there with but a few persons, and there he became a great and mighty nation. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and laid heavy bondage upon us. Yea, we have cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, of our forefathers. Then the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, sorrow, and oppression. Then the Lord brought us forth from Egypt with a strong hand and outstretched arm with great terror, with signs and wonders.
Amen. And we are going to do something very funny now. We are going to go over the 10 plagues. And I'm going to take my finger, put it in the wine, and just drops on this plate as you shout the name of that plague, okay? Now, once you see the name of that plague on the screens, in one accord, you shout as I dip it. As I just drape it over here. Okay? The first one is?
Blood.
The second one is?
Cross.
The third one is?
Next.
Thank God. The fourth one is?
Insects.
The fifth one is?
Excellence.
The sixth one is?
Oil.
The seventh one is?
Hail.
The eighth one is?
Locust.
And the ninth one is?
Darkness.
And the most severe one is? Amen. You can clap to your hand. You did it great. You did it really great. We do that because we remember the price that has to be paid for our redemption. And these 10 plagues were there so we will be redeemed. So we dip our finger in the wine and drip it right here to remember the blood that was shed for us for our redemption. How symbolic it is. And I do want to emphasize that the Haggadah tells us that we should not rejoice for the falling of the Egyptians, because they are God's work of hands. And we all remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount as far as our enemies are concerned. We should love our enemies. We shouldn't be very happy when our enemy falls down. Now, there is a Hebrew word that is called dayenu. Dayenu is, it is enough. It could have been enough for us. Dayenu, say that. Dayenu. I will read now something. And every time I end up saying the verse, you say, Dayenu. What I mean is that we must understand how much more are we bound again and again to thank the Almighty One. He had brought us forth from Egypt and had not executed judgment upon the Egyptians. Dayenu. If he had inflicted justice upon them and had not executed judgment upon their gods, Dayenu. If he had executed judgment upon their gods and had not slain their firstborn, Dayenu. If he had slain their firstborn and had not given us their wealth,
Dayenu.
If he had given us their wealth and had not divided the sea for us,
Dayenu.
If he had divided the sea for us and had not made us pass through it midst on dry land, if he had made us pass through its midst on dry land and had not sunk our oppressors into the sea, if he had sunk our oppressors into the sea and had not supplied our wants in the wilderness during 40 years, if he had supplied our wants in the wilderness during the 40 years and had not fed us with manna, if he had fed us with manna and had not given us the Sabbath. It's getting weaker and weaker, I see. If he had given us the Sabbath and had not brought us near Mount Sinai.
Dayenu.
If he had brought us near Mount Sinai and had not given us his law.
Dayenu.
If he had given us his law and had not led us into the land of Israel.
Dayenu.
If he had led us into the land of Israel and had not built the temple. But he had done all these things. And how much more are we bound again and again to thank the Almighty One? You don't have to say the end for this one. Okay. So we got to the part that said that. Mike, you have something to read for us.
Rabbi Gamliel said that whosoever does not say these three things on Passover has not done his duty. And these things are Pesach, Matzo, Maror, Passover, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. Rabbi Gamliel was the grandson of Hillel and the teacher of Saul of Tarsus, who later was called Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Some passages from the New Testament about Rabbi Gamliel. Acts 22, verses 2 through 3. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Acts 5, 34 through 39. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Judas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God."
And indeed, he was a very, very wise rabbi. Nobody could fight this. It's funny to see how the Romans and the leaders of the Jews had more faith that Jesus will be resurrected than his disciples. They wanted to make sure he will not do that, so they sealed the tomb, because they knew it could happen. But when Jesus showed himself to his disciples, they were surprised. Although he told them again and again, it's going to happen, they were surprised. So Hillel could clearly see that this is something, excuse me, Gamaliel could clearly see that this is something from God. And if it's from God, we better not fight against it. We come to the part that we are washing our hands. This is washing the hands in preparation for the meal. Jesus right now, in this part of the Seder, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needed only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. And therefore he said, "You're not all clean." Are we all clean tonight? Clean by the same thing that Jesus did to the disciples. Did we understand that he washed not only our feet, but our sins away? Because if we are not, we better understand that he did it. You know, what he did depends not on what we think, because he already did it. Now it's in our hands, whether we believe it or not, but he did it. And this is the time that all of you will take the part of the unleavened bread that you're holding, because we call this part, "Bring forth the matzah." Hold part of the unleavened bread. And remember what Jesus said in John 6, 35, "I am the bread of life." And what you do, you dip your matzah in the horseradish and you put some of the charoset, the very yummy stuff, on the top, like that. And you put another piece of your matzah like a sandwich. You see? We know that the grandfather of Gamliel was called Hillel. He was one of the greatest rabbis of Israel. And Hillel said that according to what's written in Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, you should combine it, both the bitter herbs and the matzah together. And we added this sweet stuff just to make it sweet. And then what we do, after we combine them, before we eat, some of you already, we remember that this is the second time we dip something. We dip the parsley in the salt water, now we dip the matzah in the bitter herbs. And I want us all to remember John 13, verses 21 through 27. Because that is the very part of the meal Jesus is right now at. The dipping. And Jesus said something. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples look at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread like you did right now, he did it. He gave it to Judas Iscariot. I'm not going to do that now because I don't have a Judas Iscariot here. And I'm not Jesus. And the son of Simon. And now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. And then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. There is no time. I must die on the Passover. There is no time. So this is exactly the part that Jesus dipped it, put it together, combine it, and you can eat it right now. Thank God for wine. I hope you didn't take too much horseradish. In trouble right now. After we combine this, we sit and have the supper. The supper is a beautiful festival. We are sitting around the table, mom is taking out all the great dishes, and we eat and eat and eat and drink and eat, and we like it. But we're not going to do that tonight. You had your portion already. And after the supper, after the meal, Jesus took the third cup, the cup of redemption, took it and said to his disciples, he never said, "This is my blood." I don't know why people think that that's what he said. He never said that. You know that if he would have said that, that could be a false teaching, because we cannot drink blood. It's very forbidden in the Judaism. By the way, not only in Judaism. Because I don't know if you know that, but one of the first church council in Jerusalem instituted that even Gentiles should stay away from few things. It's from blood, from meat that was sacrificed to idols. It's from strangled meat, and it's from fornication. These things. And he rose it up and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." That's what he said. "The New Testament in my blood." There had to be blood that is shed for all of us. And you are drinking now the New Testament in my blood. All of you have communion cups. And what we are going to do right now is simply, at this stage of the Seder, take communion. This is exactly what happened around the table 2,000 years ago. They got to the point after the meal that Jesus said, this is the time to bless the cup. But before blessing the cup, there is a hidden piece that we have to find. And then we break it and eat it. Who has the hidden piece? Stand up, please. Can you come and give it to us? Your reward is to sing solo. This is the hidden piece. Go to Pastor Jack later. Thank you. The hidden piece. And he took the bread on that night and he broke it. And he said, take it, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Let's read from Luke 22. Verses 14 through 20. Verses 17 through 21. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That time they still ate the Passover lamb because the temple was still there. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Jesus knew that's his time. For some reason, people tend to accuse Israel for crucifying the Messiah. Jesus said, nobody can take my life. I lay my life down. And he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, I came to do the will of my Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God was that one day in the very place where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, at the very ridge of mountain, on the very top of it, he himself will sacrifice his son. And if Jesus wouldn't have been crucified, we would all be in trouble. Just think, if he would be accepted by the Jews as their Messiah, you would be in trouble. Through their fall, salvation was given to the Gentiles. And I want you to understand another thing. If he wouldn't be crucified, it means that whatever he said was not true. And it means whatever Isaiah said was not true. And whatever so many prophets said is not true. So the whole Bible is not true. How can we believe that they did it as evil thing? I believe that the time had come that God decided to unfold his plan of redemption for the whole world. And he gave his son So all who believe in him will get eternal life and will not perish. And we could not stop it. Nobody can stop God's plan. We can try and help him, and then we'll be in trouble. Abraham tried and helped him with having his firstborn, and we got Ishmael. Many people try to help God. Please don't. It only brings problems. At this point, we will all partake the communion. Communion is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to be taken by believers who accepted Jesus as their Savior into their hearts. And we all know that it's never late to accept him. I remember one time I came to my father-in-law and said, I feel so bad, I did something bad, I can't take communion tonight. And he told me something. He said, you'll never feel good enough to take communion. If you think that you feel good to take communion, then you're in trouble. You have to always remember all what you did. Scan it all, just in your mind. Repent. It starts with repentance, and then you will be forgiven. 1 John tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin. There is not even a single sin that God is not able to forgive. We make up things. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, you have the cups. These are funny ones. You have on the top wafers, you call it? Wafer? Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what we could find for 1,000 people. It's impossible to give you the unleavened bread. You can, if you still have, by the way, piece of the unleavened bread, you can eat it, because this is the original thing that was eaten on that very Passover. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night, the same Seder night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We can eat it. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper. This is the third cup, the cup of redemption. Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Jesus used the symbols of the Passover. The cup was there, the unleavened bread was there. He did it exactly at the right time, at the right place. Usually, right now, after... By the way, what I did right now, you call it communion. But every Jewish household, during the Passover, do it without knowing what the real meaning of it is. And that's why I do believe that we should pray for the revelation of the real Lamb of God during the Passover. Because as they do that, they must understand that this is the shadow of the things that happened 2,000 years ago, and the shadow of the good things that are yet to come. Usually we take the fourth cup right now, and after that, there is the part of the praise. It's an integral part of the Passover. You praise God. You love God and you praise Him. And you know what? Jesus praised. Jesus sang with His disciples a song just before He took off to Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 30. After they have praised, or after they sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So I think that there is nothing better to do right now than to praise God and to sing. And I want to teach you another Hebrew song. This is a song that is it means praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Everlasting is it is love, it is truth, and his kindness is great to us. In Hebrew is Hallelu et Adonai kol goyim. Shabechu kol ha'umim ki gavar aleinu chasdo ve'emet Adonai le'olam. I'm going to ask the Hebrew class to come again, and you all can stand up. We're not moving now from one side to another, but we are going to try to sing this song. I think that what we did tonight is very special to God, because one day all of us, Jews and Gentiles, will come to celebrate these festivals in Jerusalem. And you all need to know the words of these songs.
Hallelujah.
This is the very end. Usually the last thing that we say on the Passover is accepted. This is a sacrifice of praise and love that we just gave to the Lord. We commemorated not only the things that happened 4,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but the things that happened 2,000 years ago and that happened every day in people that accept the Lord and in their hearts. We have the true revelation of the true Passover. We have the true revelation of the true unleavened bread. We remember that these are symbols, not only to remember what happened to the people of Israel, but also to remember what happened to each and one of us. These symbols, the Bible says, these are all shadows. And the substance is Christ. And if we don't remember that, we have hard times understanding the Bible. But we also have to remember that there is no shadow without substance, and there is no substance without shadow. And when it comes together, it's a beautiful sacrifice to the Lord. So let's pray now, and we'll continue praising the Lord together. And this is the official ending of the Passover Seder tonight. So let's pray. Father God, please accept this sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of love, and sacrifice of true want and true desire to know you better, to know your word better. Lord, we thank you that this Passover has so much meaning to us, knowing Christ and what he did for us. Lord, we thank you that we could gather together from different nations, different tongues, different cities and different houses, Jews and Gentiles, right here. We enjoy the time of celebration, the time of worship, the time of getting closer to you. And Lord, as we bring this evening to a conclusion, we just ask, Lord, please accept this sacrifice of praise, this sacrifice of love, and bless us as we want every day to know you more. Lord, we know that you are here between us this evening. And we just thank you that you are among us, and you gave us such a wonderful time of unity, of brothers and sisters. And we truly believe that this is good and pleasant for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. And we all remember that the unity that we have is only through Christ, the one who broke all the walls, who made us one new man. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all your promises. We thank you for your wonderful world. And Lord, we just pray that you will reveal to us more and more of your plans and of your will in our own lives, so we can walk in faith, learning and knowing that you are in full control, that you know every hair on our head. Nothing can fall without you knowing that. We thank you, Lord, that we are vessels that you can use tonight. Please accept this, because we pray and we come before you through the one who made reconciliation between us, through the one who gave us the right and the privilege to turn to you and to say, Abba, Father. Lord, we know that without that filter of Jesus Christ in between us and you, we could never turn to you and say, Abba, please accept this. And Lord, we thank you again, and we pray all this in the name of Yeshua, our precious Messiah, the Lamb of Passover, the unleavened bread, the true and the only Messiah. In his name we pray. Amen.